Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This is the Goalkeepers Union Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union Podcast. Between the sticks, me, Matt Beadle, here with the apologetic voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew. Apologetic indeed. None of us like to apologise, but I feel like we should apologise.
Well, no one likes to make promises that they can't keep, Richard.
That's more accurate. Yes, I would agree with that. Who made the promise, though? Was it you or me?
It was a combination of both, but I made the promise with good intentions, only to be, you know, let down by my cohort.
Interesting. I mean, we could play this out on air right now. But yeah, look, I think we should just, to make this simpler and rather than us arguing for the next 5 minutes, I think if we just say that we had promised a GK's on their way and a big roundup, I was going to go down a different route and say that we'd purposefully delayed it a couple of weeks because there's still quite a few free agents out there that are getting hooked up at the moment and going into different clubs. So I thought, well, let's do like an all-encompassing one a little bit later in September. I thought we could pretend that that's the reason we haven't done it yet, but you've just outed us effectively.
Outed you. Yeah. Okay. So you want to do it at the end of September. I'm going to say that's the final cutoff because, as we know, some free agents get picked up October, November, even December. On New Year's Eve, we'll be doing the summer GKs on their way.
Okay, not the end of September. I think we can go for next week. We can say that it will be out next week. I think I'll put that out there, and now we can hold each other to account because I know you've got the list ready, haven't you? You've got it there, ready, waiting. It's growing by the day. But I think if we do it next week, then that pretty much is an all-encompassing GK's on their way.
Okay, that's good. You've put yourself out there. There's no going back now, Richard.
There isn't. Indeed.
On with the show.
Let's do it.
Okay, starting in the Premier League at the Etihad, Manchester City 2, Brentford 1. And can we have the first Premier League klaxon of the season, please? Edison with his 4th Premier League assist. Very impressive, setting up Erling Haaland for the winner in this game. And good distribution all round yet again from the Brazilian.
Yeah, fantastic. And I know we're going to talk about some real positive punditry as well. I thought Danny Murphy, the way that he broke down exactly what it was Edison was doing, I thought was excellent. And look, Edison was excellent again. You know, I think it's nice that that was highlighted. And sometimes it takes an assist for all the other stuff to be highlighted. But yeah, just the way in which he mixed up his game, where it was a really good lesson actually for younger goalkeepers watching, where having that sort of awareness as to, firstly, his positioning, and you see him taking up different positions to try and affect the attacking players and affect the structure of the opposition team. And I thought Danny Murphy broke that down really well, but also just the understanding as to when to go long, when to go short. You know, I think we see it too often, I think, now, where a team might have a certain style of play, a certain idea as to what they want to do. But of course, if it's predictable, then the opposition, if they've done their research, they'll know exactly what you're going to do. They're going to nullify that threat, and ultimately, it doesn't end well. You know, the amount of goals we're seeing at the moment where it's not ending particularly well. And you actually think the amount of times that Edison does play out and has done over the years, and how many times he's been caught out. And I think a lot of that is the fact that he knows when to mix things up. And the fact that he's got that in his locker where he can, off one step, you know, go 70, 75 yards and go over the top of the defence, it just keeps the opposition team guessing. And I thought he was brilliant all day at it. Just his choice, his execution, and the fact he's ended up with an assist as well. Another top performance.
Yeah, it really was. A joy to watch when he's in that type of form, Edison. And it did, as you say, prompt some very positive punditry from Danny Murphy on Match of the Day in what was a mixed bag for goalkeeping punditry, I think, at the weekend. So we'll start with the good and then we'll come on to the usual suspects after that. And it's annoying, as always, that we tend to do this. Whenever we speak about positive punditry on the podcast, it always seems to be balanced out with some negative punditry after it. So Danny Murphy on Edison, very good, decent insights, very impressive. I was listening to Joe Hart on Five Live on my way to a game on Saturday, and he's so good, Joe Hart. He's so articulate, he's passionate. You can really tell that he's an ex-goalkeeper who played at the highest level by the way that he speaks about goalkeeping and the way that he outlines what's going on and gives the listener or the viewer a really good impression of what he feels is happening in that moment. And he will continue to be very good in that role regardless of the platform that he's on. So that's very much a plus. Now, he was on the game between Southampton and Manchester United, so we had plenty to say on Aaron Ramsdale and plenty to say on the penalty save from Andre Onana. However, and this is annoyingly a big however, so if we ignore the fact that there was barely a mention for Onana's save on the TNT coverage, it was purely focusing on the miss from Cameron Archer. Despite the punditry, there is still, and I don't know whether you've noticed this, there is still this weird tongue-in-cheek, you know, we're still not taking this too seriously reaction to any type of goalkeeping punditry that you hear. So even Danny Murphy, after making that big speech on Edison, he did finish it off with a bit of a disclaimer to say, you know, we don't have Joe or Shea here, so I guess I'll have to do my bit for the Goalkeepers Union. And then there's a chuckle throughout the studio. On Five Live, there was always a bit of a laugh or a sneer whenever Joe Hart made his various points. There was an acknowledgement and an understanding of what he was trying to communicate, but there's still this sense of, oh, here goes the goalkeeper again, and then everyone having a bit of a laugh. You'll never get that if it's any other position on the pitch. So Danny Murphy's not going to be saying, you know, big Alan Shearer's not here, or Frank Lampard's not here, or Jermaine Genus isn't here. Well, to be fair, Jermaine Genus probably wouldn't be there anyway at the moment. Anyway, you know what I mean? No one's going to be saying, I'll act on behalf of the strikers or the midfielders or the defenders. That's not happening with any other position. There just remains this weird taboo when giving an authoritative opinion on a goalkeeper's game. And I just don't know whether that is ever going to change.
I hope it does. And I hope with the fact that Joe Hart's now playing more and more of a part, it will. And I think maybe this is that sort of transitionary period that we're going through at the moment, where I don't mind it to an extent where there is a realisation that they're now commenting on something they don't know too much about. Now, the fact I love what Danny Murphy was saying was that was something that it wasn't necessarily talking about a goalkeeper's save, the technique, the decision-making in a 1v1 or whatever it might be, because, look, with the greatest respect, they're not qualified to do that. And I think there is that realisation, which is becoming more and more, certainly with the pundits that are a bit more open-minded. And as you say, we're going to get on to the two usual suspects. There's more than two, but the two main usual suspects, we'll get on to them in a minute, where they're going to be a bit more difficult, because I think they're so confident in their opinions on every position on the field, goalkeeping in particular, it will be tough with them. Whereas I don't mind the others, where they'll give an opinion, but then also, yeah, maybe drop in the fact that they know they're not goalkeepers. So I'm okay with that. And I think that's where the transition's going to come, in that in time, what will happen as well is the likes of Joe Hart, the likes of ourselves, I'm sure all these guys listening to the Goalkeepers Union podcast every week, of course. But, you know, in time, it's just education, you know, in the same way that we talk a lot now about goalkeepers that are playing out over and over. And at first it was like, what are they doing? Just go long. Of course, over time, that's now becoming that much better. There is that much more understanding, education as to what the teams are trying to do, the top managers, what they're trying to do. So because of that, when the odd mistake's happening, it's not necessarily getting as much criticism as it might have done a little while ago. So I think it's just going to take a period of time. It's going to take more exposure for the likes of Joe Hart, Shea Given, these types of people on TV. And the more that we see that, the other pundits will pick up on that, and they'll start to learn that bit more as well. And it won't then be a little sign off at the end of each time they give a little bit of punditry. They'll have got that from a decent source, or they'll have learnt that. So I do think that will change. But then also, what I would say is there are going to be certain characters that are maybe a little bit longer in the tooth. They've got their ideas already, and that's going to be that little bit more difficult to change.
Okay, so now with the other side, the bad goalkeeping punditry that you mentioned there, and the usual suspects, dare I say it, Messrs. Neville Carragher and a couple of others at it this weekend again. So firstly, can you confirm whether Guglielmo Vicario had frogs in his pants during Tottenham's defeat to Arsenal? And secondly, should he have come for the corner from which the winner was scored by Gabriel? Because that's what Neville thought. But also on Match of the Day 2, as flagged to us by Adam Schubeck, the Penny Bont number one, the current Penny Bont number one, Danny Rose and Theo Walcott believed because it was in his 6-yard box, he should be coming for that all day long.
Well, look, firstly, in terms of whether he's got frogs in his pants, I don't know. I haven't checked. Look, goalkeepers do some funny things, so maybe he did. Maybe that was kind of like his superstition. And should he have come? No. And I agree with Adam in terms of the message that he sent, where that myth has to be dispelled. It's ridiculous because every situation is different. Now, of course, if it's a ball that's floated in and it's 6 yards out, 8 yards out, and you've got nobody in your path, it's maybe a chip ball in, you've got nobody in your path, you can come even 10 yards out, you know, and that's maybe easier than a ball that's whipped in that's 3 yards out, but it's coming in at head height the whole way, in swinging, and you've got five people around you, you know. And I think with this one, Vicario's tried to make a bit of space for himself, couldn't. You look how crowded that 6-yard box was, there's just nothing he can do. And that's, of course, where if the setup is correct, which isn't necessarily the goalkeeper's responsibility, if the setup's correct, that should be headed away. There shouldn't be a free header 4 yards out. So, in my opinion, no. And then similarly, it goes back to, you did make a mention there about the way in which certain pundits will talk about goalkeepers. It's just really patronising. You know, listening to Gary Neville talk about goalkeepers, it really frustrates me because it's like he is talking down about them, like they are a different species. It's obviously something he doesn't fully understand, and it's just really patronising his tone. That's the bit that I struggle with, where he's just making comments based off his own belief set. And, you know, it is what it is, but at the same time, that's where I would love a Joe Hart sat next to him and just put him in his place. It wouldn't take long. It's like the bully at school, isn't it? You just wouldn't take long before the bully stops if someone's actually correcting them or just shooting them down when they make the stupid comments. But the problem is, where you get the likes of Neville and Carragher making their comments, they don't have that person alongside them to do that. And if they did, my guess is they wouldn't make those comments.
Yeah, it's just that tone, isn't it? Which we've spoken about so many times on the pod before. And that tone was delivered as well to Sam Johnston in the game between Wolves and Newcastle yesterday from Jamie Carragher, who thought he was taking too long with his distribution, but we'll brush past that because it's, yeah, I'm just not even going to spend any time on it. But Carragher also had very little insight to offer on the opening goals scored by Everton in their 3-2 defeat at Aston Villa. But he did feel as though Emi Martinez could have done more for each of those goals.
Yeah, well, do you know, before I touch on that, I will just make the point as well on, because I think both Carragher and Neville are guilty of this, and we all are to an extent, where we've all got a preconceived idea as to what we like in a goalkeeper. You know, I think I've made it quite clear on the podcast, like the goalkeepers that I really appreciate are the ones that are really calm in what they do. But that's not to say I can't appreciate a Vicario, a Pickford. They've got very different styles, but they work. And I think that's part of the problem too, where, and Neville has touched on this before, where he's used to a Peter Schmeichel who was, you know, screaming and shouting. Him, but he's used to certain goalkeepers that he likes. And of course, then if you're putting those preconceived beliefs, ideas into all these different goalkeepers, very few are going to match up or align with what he actually likes. And in terms of Carragher's comments, look, Martinez, that first goal, is it savable? I think on another day, he might save it. Is it a mistake? Absolutely not. But again, it's not been broken down. The reason this has beaten Martinez is the fact that the shot was taken so early.
Yeah.
You know, it was a touch and strike. And it caught me by surprise how early you took it. It's a brilliant finish. And of course, as a goalkeeper, you're setting according to when you think the strike's going to happen. And you can't set if it's taken that early. So that's the reason this has gone in. He's just a split second later. If the strike would have happened when I thought it would have happened, and probably most people, then he saves this. If it's the same shot, he saves it. But the fact it was taken so early, touch strike, he's not set. And I don't think there's many goalkeepers that save this. So although it doesn't look great because it doesn't fly in the corner, it's not with huge pace, it is right in the corner. It's hard enough. And the fact that he couldn't get his dive away straight away, that's the reason it's beaten him. But again, that wasn't touched on at all. It's just the generic classic, oh, I think the goalkeeper will be disappointed. But again, I just wish there was a bit more detail.
And just a few more to finish up in the Premier League. Aaron Murich with a fine double stop as Ipswich drew at Brighton, receiving some glowing praise from his manager after the game in that one. Nick Pope flying to his right to keep up Mateus Cunha and preserve 3 points for Newcastle at Wolves. Matt Sells very nearly with a keeper caper at Liverpool. It wasn't to be as Nottingham Forest left Anfield with a win. And Robert Sanchez giving away a penalty for a foul on Evan Nilsson and then picking himself up to brilliantly save the spot kick from the same man. Chelsea beating Bournemouth 1-0.
Yeah, huge save from Rob Sanchez. You actually watch his penalty again. That is right in the corner. And, you know, I'm pleased for Rob Sanchez. I know we spoke about him quite a lot on the pod, where I hope now he's starting to win over the Chelsea fans. I could sense that going to a game last season. The fans weren't necessarily with him, but there's been a few key moments he's had already this season, and that's a massive moment for him. Not a lot he can do in terms of giving away the penalty. It's a poor ball back to him, and yeah, he's just stood his ground, and it is what it is. But brilliant save. This is, again, not many goalkeepers that have got that reach, athleticism, power, reactions. Top save. This was great save from Nick Pope as well late on. I know he got a little bit of stick a couple of weeks ago last time out, but again, another win and another game winning save. Pleased for Aaron Murich as well. Thought the second save in particular was very good. First save, good parry to his right, but the speed at which he gets up and the way in which he's read the situation, you know, he's obviously looking in that split second, looking at what the attacker's looking to do, because you can't react and get down to your right that quickly. That's just got to be a gut instinct. I think that's where they're putting it, and he's guessed perfectly, and it's a top save. And yeah, I was pleased that didn't go in for Matt Sells, because again, he's had a top performance, a big win for Nottingham Forest. And I've watched this a few times. I can only think that he's either thinking about what he's doing next, or it's just got caught up in the sun. And I know that sounds like a classic goalkeeping excuse, but it is such a simple ball to deal with. And, you know, 99.9 times out of 100, he catches this safely. So I can only assume that he's looked up and he's just lost sight of it ever so slightly. But thankfully, went through his legs, managed to collect it on the line, and all is good in the world.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. Once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.
It is the EFL overview, starting in the Championship, where Max O'Leary was one of many to play out from the back and concede this weekend. So the Bristol City stopper gifted a second goal to Blackburn and Lewis Travis as the home side ran out 3-0 winners. A goalmouth scramble to end all goalmouth scrambles saw James Beadle caught up in the chaos in a game which ended 1-1 between Sheffield Wednesday and QPR, despite it being goalless at 93 minutes. Cleans and wins of the 1-0 kind for James Trafford, Thomas Kaminski and Jacob Zetterstrom. Trafford with lovely late saves from Matteo Joseph and Ethan Ampadu, and an even better late claim to a massive cheer as Burnley beat Leeds. Kaminski with a big one-on-one save from one-on-one specialist Macaulay Langstaff. Luton winning away at Millwall. Zetterstrom with a huge double save, first from his own man Aaron Cashin and then from Demetrius Gutas's rebound. Derby were victorious over Cardiff, who had goalkeeper Jack Anik to thank for keeping the score down, and he had himself luck to thank that he still has a head after a mad collision with Ebu Adams left him spread-eagled on the halfway line right at the death in that one. And Anthony Patterson very nearly with a save of the season contender in Sunderland's defeat to Plymouth. Incredible reactions to touch a Morgan Whittaker volley onto the bar, only to see the rebound cannon in off teammate Dan Ballard.
Right, where do we start here? Lots to mention. Firstly, a well done to James Trafford. I can imagine it can't be easy where, you know, it looks so certain that he'd move this summer window. Obviously hasn't. So then to get your head back in the game in the way that he has, and yeah, huge, huge win that for Burnley. And as you say, top, top performance. Yeah, had to mention Anthony Patterson. I was absolutely devastated for him because this is a phenomenal save. Moving to his left-hand side, so sharp, back to his right. So impressive, given that he's so low. It's kind of the Gordon Banks one to an extent, like to try and flick it up over the bar. And he's managed to get it onto the bar, only for his defender to run and plough the ball into the back of the net. So he must have been gutted with that one, because that would have been a top, top save. Max O'Leary, I feel like we're going to be mentioning a lot of these throughout the season. There's been so many already. The team's playing the way they are. And yeah, it's just a misplaced pass. I know there's one or two in League One, League Two as well that no doubt we'll touch on. Really felt for Jack Anik in the situation that he found himself in. And I've watched this a few times too. And for the life of me, I can't think what the defender's doing. The ball's been cleared. It's the last minute. They're trying to get an equaliser. Firstly, the defender decides not to head it. And then how he can just stand there so passively and not block off the attacker. And as you say, so fortunate that Jack didn't get a serious injury here, because he's been absolutely cleaned out. Like, very brave to come and try and make the header on the halfway line. In the end, obviously didn't end up as a goal. Terrible miss. But yeah, still for the life of me, I can't understand what the defender is doing in this situation. And Jacob Zetterstrom, as you mentioned there, fantastic double save. First one, the reactions from the close range header, and then to get himself up so quickly, make the block on the angle. He's certainly endearing himself to the Derby fans very quickly.
Into League Two, where Christy Pym kept out Dan and Lundaloo with a mega stop for Mansfield in the 97th minute of their 2-1 triumph over Cambridge. Nathan Baxter conceding four as Bolton were humbled at home by Huddersfield. He did have a decent game, producing an absolute worldie of a save from an Anthony Evans point-blank header. But it was the 81st minute when it just started to go wrong. It was almost a case of the Chuckle Brothers to me to you with him in his back line. In the end, it was straight to Evans again, who this time bagged that fourth and final goal. Josh Griffiths and Bristol Rovers also on the end of a 4-0 home defeat. Three set pieces conceded, plus a playing out faux pas, which resulted in a fumble from across and a day to forget all round for the Gas. A day to remember of sorts for Kanaya Boyce-Clark, albeit a day of mixed fortunes for the Reading goalkeeper. In for only his second ever league start against Leyton Orient, his first since the final day of the 22-23 season. Some lovely touches throughout, an excellent tip over from Charlie Kelman, but then the only goal of the game conceded from the same man moments later, and one he will feel perhaps that he should have saved. Corey Adai with a touch of the Pat Jennings about his one-handed gather in Stockport's draw with Crawley, his former club, of course. You love to see these. And Murphy Cooper playing a key part in the third Stevenage goal in their 3-0 win over Barnsley.
Well, I'll start with Corey Adai. Really enjoyed this. The confidence to come out, obviously big guy, no doubt, massive hands, I am sure, but to be able to claim the ball one-handed and look so comfortable in doing so. Didn't even try to go with the second hand. Didn't even consider a punch. Just went out there and just plucked it out the sky with one hand. Excellent take. As you mentioned, Nathan Baxter, a couple of great saves in this one, and I know I use this term a lot, but I did feel for him in that I just don't know what they were doing. They're obviously looking to play. And it's just, yeah, just stitched him up effectively. And at the same time, the question is that one, and we say it a lot, at what point do you just put your foot through it? You know, and I think when you're getting a pass back from about 7 yards and you're on the goal line, I don't know if that's that moment where you just think, do you know what? we're just not getting out of this. As much as we keep trying to pass, it's just going to be too difficult unless you can thread that through the eye of a needle into your sitting midfield player. But it's such a difficult skill to do. And unfortunately for him, ended up in the back of the net. Boyce Clark, great tip over. Really, really, really good save on this one. I've seen the goal a couple of times, and at first I thought maybe it's taken a nick because I couldn't figure out whether it was just a case that he's just started to go to his right, maybe reading it, which of course, shot was from 18, 20 yards from memory. Of course, that's one where ideally stay in a neutral position, react to the shot. My guess is he's probably just started to go that little bit early. And in the end, the fact it goes back down to his left-hand side, not too far away from him, as you mentioned, I'm sure it'll be one that he'll be a little bit frustrated with. And great part that Murphy Cooper played in the goal. Not quite an assist, but as good as, I think. I don't know if there's anything for an assist of an assist. Do we give goalkeepers anything for that? I mean, I'd love to, because I think it's a lovely ball out to the left-hand side. Simple ball across, finish. Very, very good.
Yeah, a bit of a stretch, I think. An assist for an assist. We'll just label it as a key pass, a smart pass. On to League Two, where we have the spawniest goal of the week. A few contenders for this, many in League Two, to be fair. The opener in Gillingham's win over Tranmere and the late equaliser for Morecambe against Colchester shall get a mention. But it was the game between Bromley and Notts County. Jody Jones with the fourth for the visitors in a 4-2 win. You had to feel for Grant Smith here. The shot has taken a deflection. It's about 18 to 20 yards out. Smith has scrambled to touch it onto the post. It's then cannoned off the post, popped back over Smith and out, only to then spin back over the line. Horrible. Celebration of the weekend, however, goes to Tommy Simkin. A really good game between Walsall and Bradford, won by the Saddlers 2 minutes from time, and then deep into stoppage time, Simkin has leapt like a salmon to claim a cross before duly running to the side of his area, clutching the ball still and performing a knee slide in delight. I just don't think I've ever seen that before, but I would love to see more of it. And finally, 40-year-old Glenn Morris stepping in for Gillingham in the absence of Jake Turner. That's three games, two clean sheets, still very much a goalkeeper capable of performing.
He is very much so. Just super, super solid. You know, I've watched a lot of him over the years, and I think for a lot of managers, exactly what they want. You know, someone who's such a calming influence, very, very rarely makes an error. And the fact that Gillingham are doing so well and he's stepped in, and certainly no change in terms of form. So a big well done to him. You mentioned Grant Smith. Really felt for him on this one. There's nothing more he could have done. You know, he's got the fingertip to it. It would have been a brilliant save for it to spin back in and just creep over the line. Certainly felt for him. And Tommy Simpkin, we do need to see more. Very rarely does a goalkeeper get a chance to do a knee slide. You know, we talk about celebrations, we get the odd fist pump when you make a big save, but to do that late in the game, catch a big cross. I'm assuming the final whistle went at that moment, or was the game still going on? I'm assuming the final whistle went, which kind of meant he could go and do the knee slide.
Right.
That would have made more sense. But again, I couldn't really tell from what I saw, but absolutely, look, you know, very rarely do we get an opportunity to celebrate. And when you've won a big game like that late on, you've taken a massive cross at the end, the final whistle goes. I didn't have that feeling that many times in my career, but it's such a good feeling when that final whistle's gone, you've made a big action towards the end of the game, or you know you've played a key part in that game. It's one of the best feelings you can get. Clean Sheet Club.
So it is that time, but as you can tell, it's not the dulcet tones of Richard Lee. You are passing the baton for this week, Richard.
I am indeed.
We'll start in the Premier League. Andre Onana, 50-50. Bart Verbruggen on the board. Aaron Murich on the board, mark 2. Matt Sells unbeaten. Robert Sanchez on the board, mark 3. David Raya never off the board. Into the Championship. Michael Cooper back-to-back. James Trafford on the board, mark 4. Thomas Kaminski dens the brakes. Jamie Cumming, Potter stopper. Ainsley Pears on the board, mark 5. Jacob Zetterstrom double bubble. Lawrence Vigouroux all the games. Into League 1, Lee Nichols, 3's up. Sam Tickle, Mr. Man, Zach Hemming on the board, mark 6. Will Mannion, my tip for the top. Not my tip for the top, Richard's tip for the top. That was obviously written for Richard. Murphy Cooper wears his theme music. And into League 2, Owen Goodman, Don, Jack Bycroft, first win of the campaign. Philip Marshall, successive shutouts. Glenn Morris, keep on moving, don't stop, no. And Connor Ripley, fortified.
See, this is why you should do it every week. You've done that without a single mistake. It's just rolled off the tongue and you love it.
It's just difficult seeing your face while I'm trying to read it. Okay, well,
very
you
good,
promised.
Matthew. Very, very good.
Thank you. Thank you. You promised a table, didn't you, after five games? There have been six for some, but we shall name what I would say is the top two. There's plenty of goalkeepers on three, so we're going to leave them, but there are two goalkeepers out in front on four.
Go on.
Your tip for the top, Richard, Will Mannion, with four in six. I mean, you did say whoever is the Charlton goalkeeper, not specifically Will Mannion, but it looks as though it's going to be Will Mannion for the foreseeable. So four in six for Will Mannion. But just above him, four in five, is Wrexham's Arthur Okonkwo, playing this evening, of course, against Birmingham.
Big well done to those two. Four clean sheets early on. That sets them up nicely. That's a nice platform for the season. They'll kind of know that if they can get to the 20-plus mark, that's going to give them a great chance of the clean sheet club trophy, which we've never actually created or given or made anything of. We keep saying we will, we never do, but 20 plus. So the fact they're already a fifth of the way there this early in the season, great platform to build from.
Very decent indeed. And also matching them, in fact, going one above them in the Scottish Premiership is Kasper Schmeichel, because after Celtic's 2-0 win over Hearts, he became the first goalkeeper since 1906 in Scotland to keep five clean sheets in his first five league games. It's not been a bad start for the Dane.
Not bad at all. They're looking pretty good, aren't they, this season, Celtic? I know Aberdeen are obviously up there with them, but can't help but feel, I've watched a couple of their games now, they look like they really could romp the league this season. And to have Kasper Schmeichel, obviously had Joe Hart last season, certain obvious similarities between the two, but a club that size, to have a goalkeeper of that calibre, that experience, it does just feel like the perfect fit.
Good stuff, Richard. That is us for this week. We'll be back next week with more Between the Sticks. And as you've promised, a GK's on their way.
I have promised. We have promised. We will hold ourselves to account. The listeners will hold us to account.
Richard, thank you.
Matthew, thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the Sticks, keepers.
Wait.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. And once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.